Now on today's program, a Michael Crichton adaptation that has nothing to do with monsters. It's Disclosure. Ugh. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska. I don't know why I'm laughing, but I am.
And we hate movies. Everyone, welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, this week on the program, it's the sexual harassment cyber thriller Disclosure from 1994, directed by Barry Levinson.
Well, actually, we are partnering with your job's HR firm. This is actually it's a dual We Hate Movies episode and sex harassment seminar. To do, what not to do.
Thank you, Steve, for bringing this up. We actually got notified from your employer that you've downloaded this podcast, so we're going to have a seminar about sexual harassment.
Everybody have their hands above the table.
That's right.
At all times. Mm-hmm.
There's coffee in back.
Mm-hmm. You have to be sitting on a folding chair right now to hear this.
And when you complete it, you do have to mail that to your HR representative that you have completed the course.
Right. Yep.
You will get a certificate.
Tell your boss about We Hate Movies.
There were donuts, but Donna's here, so...
Donna is, of course, another name for Chris Cabot.
So, yeah, this is a Michael Crichton joint by Barry Levinson.
Yep.
Yeah.
From Diner to Disclosure. The Barry Levinson.
Barry Levinson.
That sounds like a book I wouldn't read.
And then Wag the Dog after this, which is a great movie.
And then Men in Black. And then
no, that's Sonnenfeld.
I always get him mixed up.
I was doing it last night myself.
Because
what are the odds?
Levinson's Rain Man. And
okay. Rain Man's a movie that doesn't hold up. That's for sure.
Awful movie. Mm-hmm. It's an awful movie. And he's doing the new Madoff movie.
Oh. Which looks good.
Looks
the
okay.
Wizard of Lies.
Wait, who's
it's the Wizard of Lies.
That's what it's called?
Yeah, it's Bobby De Niro as Madoff.
No.
It's a stupid title.
They should have got Bob Balaban.
That would Bob be great. Balaban can't play Bernie Madoff.
He can play anything. Why don't you have a little faith in Bob?
Look, I love Balbs, okay? But Balbs would play a dude who got fucking swindled by him. What do you mean my whole family fortune's gone?
I think the Balbs has more range than people give him credit
for. Yeah, I mean, Balaban plays the Xenomorph in the new Alien Covenant.
You know what? You're right. I forgot that.
There's a little Bob Balaban that goes through somebody's head.
It's just Bob Balaban is just the little tongue head. He's not the whole thing.
I know Andre Gregory.
That is the last thing I want to hear. What would be his Oscar? Like, what's the...
Balbs?
What's like the role that would get Bob Balaban an Oscar?
Bernie Madoff.
Yeah. We already got there.
Oh, that's a great question. I mean, it's maybe some kind of like extraordinary college professor story.
Oh, I got it.
Oh.
Harry S. Truman.
Ooh.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
That nail meat head.
I think he's a little too short for Truman, though.
You have to give him some lifts.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm not disqualifying
Put
him.
Put some stilts on
him. No, you just film him like Gandalf.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You
make Gandalf him... that Peter Jackson directs the Truman story, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, there were a lot of goblins in that Harry S. Truman movie. I didn't understand that.
There were all these orcs below the FBI.
Orlando Bloom could play the pilot for the...
Enola Gay?
Yes, thank you. Where he drops those bombs, the Jake and the Fat Man, I think the bombs were called, that they dropped on the Japanese there.
Yeah. Wait, is that true?
Well, no, one of them, it's like Big the Boy and boy Little Boy or Fat Boy or something like that.
Because I was like...
We were having a lot of fun that day.
I hear Jake and the Fat Man, of course, I think of the classic television detective show.
That's the joke I was making.
Dumping Raymond Burr on him? Well, that's Perry Mason.
Disclosure.
We apologize for what happened in this podcast so far. We're back to the HR portion.
So here's the thing.
Yeah.
Why is this movie structured like The Shining?
Yes.
Very true, because there's shots of like Friday, boom, it's like this car driving in the wilderness. And you're like, what the fuck?
It's because it's not just the days of the week, but it's also aerial shots of cars driving in the woods.
Because I think they're trying to put this in your head, and I don't know, maybe this is just the white male in me talking. Because watching this whole thing, I'm just like, Okay, so when does he decide to pull the plug on the whole family experiment and just off his kids, off his wife, off himself? Because a lot of guys do that.
Yeah, there needed to be.
They shouldn't.
There needed
but they
to
do
be
it.
A solid Manchester by the Sea house fire in this movie, and it just doesn't happen in this story.
Well, I was going out. We were hanging out. We were doing blowing rails and drinking beer. I went out for more beer. I didn't know that the burner was still on.
You want to get fucked, huh? You're going to get fucked, family. You're going to get fucked. You're going to fuck my family.
Here's the thing. This movie, to your point, Eric, is persecuted white male the movie. Like,
yeah.
Holy ever-loving shit. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, the women are coming for our jobs, and it's not fucking fair.
As my wife pointed out, Michael Douglas's character leaves this movie to go on to be a men's rights activist.
It is. He's a red pill motherfucker. You know what I mean?
Like, what does that mean?
That
means
is...
he watches YouTube a lot, right?
Yes.
But what?
By the way, you're not an alpha male if you watch YouTube a lot.
Does it mean he's got one of those Beats by Dre pill speakers?
No, it's a Matrix reference, which is ironic for people who hate women. It's a Matrix reference wherein the red pill was what Neo took to waken himself up.
Oh.
That's how you become Cernovan.
So now you're awake and you know that women stink.
Yeah, because the feminists have been putting pills in your butt.
Oh, shit. Is that what's happening?
Or mouth. The mouth is kind of the face.
No,
butt.
I think you take the red pill, you believe in Pizzagate, that's it.
It's true. There's no middle ground. I agree.
You know what I've been thinking about a lot lately, speaking of Pizzagate? You remember they had that their Pizzagate protest? It was a while back now, and they had that famous photo of like that family.
Yes,
and it was clear that like, because it was like parents, like a dude and a lady, and then like two kids, and I was like, you know, they should follow up on the kids of the Pizzagate protest parents like 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. See if you're still talking to your family.
That's a surefire way of like, once I'm out of the house, goodbye.
I think that was like, you know, you bring kids to a Pizzagate protest. Guess what? You don't have kids anymore.
Yep.
Child Protective Services.
You think there was a Pizza Hut social media person that was like, thinking about using Pizzagate?
They were crunching the numbers.
They backed off.
Yeah,
like,
they had already photoshopped a bunch of breadsticks and pepperonis in a gate. Like, this is not what that's about, man.
Look,
like,
go on Wikipedia, figure it out, dude. It's
a basement
right
full of breadsticks.
It's like, you know where you won't find a child sex ring? Down on Wing Street.
So this is a movie, by the way, in case anyone's wondering, it's a movie wherein Michael Douglas gets sexually harassed by a woman.
Right.
It goes both ways, you guys. Yeah. It goes both ways.
It happens.
Because you know what? As we learn in this movie, sexual harassment or sexual harassment, sexual harassment, it's not about sex. It's about power.
But even the problem is, this movie isn't even about sexual harassment.
It's about virtual reality, goddammit.
It's about virtual reality.
Sexual harassment doesn't work unless you got power.
You can't sexually harass on water. Not unless you got power.
Well, you're right.
It's the last episode of We Hate Movies.
Goodbye.
But it's about virtual reality. It's about intercompany politics and some sort of scam that is happening from Jump Street that I'm still not even sure what the scam was.
It's five-dimensional chess, Steve. Yeah, you gotta get ready for it, man.
It's six-dimensional chess.
I feel like Dylan Baker is 20 moves ahead of the audience in this movie.
And we never catch up to him.
I don't know what the fucking point is. What are they trying to set him up for?
I'm sorry. The short answer is they're trying to set up Michael Douglas so they could fire him for incompetence. And the week that they have...
Oh my God, and he's fighting to like keep his job to be with these people that fucking hate his guts and think he's incompetent and don't want him around to begin with.
Yes.
I think they want his stock options is the end of... Because he has... That's his big out. Is that I have the stock options, even if they got rid of me, even if they didn't give me the vice presidency, I will have these stock options.
Which,
something
by the way,
is going on with
will
that.
Go nowhere.
Will go nowhere.
No one's using VR libraries.
this big merger is this company is excited to buy Donald Sutherland's company. He's the head of the company that Michael Douglas works for.
Uh-huh.
And their big development is a virtual reality interface used solely as a filing system.
They do. There is a line that it's like, this is for presentation purposes. It's not. We're not actually going to make a file system. They do. There's like something that's like under the radar to be like, we're just showing you the application, like the
first wave. This is the first wave.
It's so much more difficult than actually putting a file away. I have to put on a helmet, walk around a fake mist-like library.
It's a mind palace, brother.
It's stupid.
And it takes you 10 minutes to move fucking 1 foot forward in this world.
It reminds me, have you ever seen that mid-90s SNL sketch virtual book with Michael McKean?
I don't think so.
It's virtual reality books, and it's Michael McKean, and it's like, oh, it's the beauty of virtual reality books. You're thrust into your favorite books, but the gag is you put the helmet on, and you're just reading a book.
Right.
And then that's, you know, in a virtual reality experience,
It's much like this, because they're just looking at files.
You're just grabbing files.
Well, I could do that on a regular computer. Well,
I could do that on... physically, I could grab those files.
Well, you just have a fucking filing cabinet. Can I say, but before all that, like with the sexual harassment shit, like you hate Michael Douglas before the credits even end. Because he's in his house and his, like, you hear them chit-chattering, his whole family, the whole thing.
Kathy, you got your jacket or what?
You got your rain boots? Are you ready to go outside? God damn it.
He's just yelling at these kids.
So the daughter is saying something like, oh, my friend Cindy, she has two mothers.
Yeah.
And like he says, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, he's ready to
fucking throw. 1994.
Oh, man, I hate the way the future's going.
Yeah, it's like a fucking Dave's World column. Like, you know what, dude?
What's a Dave's World?
What's that?
Dave Barry.
Dave Barry, yeah.
Does he hates women?
No, it's more just like, I can't believe what's going on these days.
Oh, boy. He's a dude that will complain about millennials and their $9 cups of coffee.
Oh, boy. So tough for Dave.
Forever, you know, immortalized by Harry Anderson in the sitcom Dave's World.
That's right.
Who could care?
Who could care? So yeah, so he goes to work. He shows up to work a little late because, and it's the day, it's your white guy day where it's the day of the big promotion. I've never been in this position where someone's like, today's the day I get my big promotion. Everyone told me I'm getting a promotion today.
And on top of that, he's just like, yeah, I could be a few hours late.
Yep.
Because he's consistently
puttering around the house.
I don't even think it's like an excuse for the kids or whatever. He's consistently late to his job in this movie. And that's not how you climb the ladder.
You get high up there, man, and all of a sudden it doesn't matter. You're one of the honchos.
Listen, again, I'm a representative of your HR department if you're listening to this. Sure. And I just want to say that, you know, I mean, 30 minutes late's fine. Nothing more than that, all right?
Yeah,
that's official policy.
Company, or you got to make that time up afterwards.
Or you have to call up Dennis Miller and at least tell him.
Yeah,
you got to tell him that you're going to be late.
Check in with your. I guess he's a subordinate.
He is a subordinate.
Or is he a side ordinate?
He's a subordinate. They're trying to make a prime ordinate.
Either way, Dennis Miller's in this movie, and him and Douglas are battling for fucking mullet supremacy in this movie.
It's your 90s Seinfeldian yuppie
it's
mullet.
So I was, bad.
This is Everyone my Alien versus Predator.
By the way, Miller wins, I think, by like an inch.
He's got this. This was like Dennis Miller, his comedy special. I Can Be in Movies Now.
Yep,
it was happening.
Murder at 1600. He had this beard,
Bordello of Blood.
The Net. Like,
yep,
those are like roles where he's just like in movies, just kind of telling people information and then walking away.
Telling people information, but also just slightly edging in some Dennis Miller intelligent barbs. Oh, God.
So he's late for this thing, and he's got a meeting with Donald Sutherland, and like...
This was what was shocking to me, first of all, and I realized I could never be in the world of high business, because...
Oh, this was the one?
This is one of several reasons.
Wait, hold on. You're not torpedoing our project that you're going to star in called High Business, are you?
Oh, well, no, that's a different kind of high business.
That's the movie where we are selling marijuana.
Yes. Yeah. No.
To Tish.
I'm talking about like this world of like I'm jazzed about a promotion kind of a thing, because he gets in and they're like Dennis Miller's like, hey babe, you're late. Donald Sutherland was already walking through your office at 8:30. I was like, 8:40?
fucking 30.
Oh, yeah, man.
What are you talking
that,
about?
Yeah, that is bizarre.
And then there's a
fire me now.
There's a meeting at 7:30, and it's like, no way in fucking hell.
No way.
Who would even do that? That's fucking crazy. Who would even do that? What is this, high school? What is it? The day end at 3?
You're trying to sink your own fucking company.
7:30. Listen, 9:30 minimum.
Yes.
That's the earliest you can go.
For a meeting, absolutely. 7:30 meeting. That means I got to come in at 7, have my coffee, check Google for a bit, and then I could go into the meeting.
What am I waking up at 3 a.m.?
Yes. To make it to the mainland?
Are we doing morning radio? What are we doing at 7:30?
Yeah, exactly.
Do I have to get up and give someone a fucking traffic report? Like, come on, 7:30? You're making a computer simulation. What do you need to be up that
listen,
early
you're
for?
A computer company. If anything, you should be in later than anyone else.
Yes.
Remote but, workstations.
Yes. So yeah, that's what they're in. They're doing VR stuff. It's weird because it's both software and hardware at the same time. Mm-hmm. Because Michael Douglas, he's in operations and production, and his thing is like, I have to make sure that the drives work and there's something wrong with the
developing drives. Developing CD-ROMs.
Yeah.
We're making CD-ROMs.
Dude, we are talking about making a portable CD-ROM drive. Like, it's so funny. And I get it. Like, it's 2017 now. We're a long ways away from this. Sure. And like, back then, this was deemed like cutting edge, whatever. But Jesus Christ, does it just seem quaint?
Now, Arthur, don't try to screw me with these drives here.
I just bought a portable CD drive. So how about that?
What for what?
Well, I guess it's
you time traveling.
DVD. No, because my fucking new computer doesn't have a DVD player.
Oh,
because now we're getting to that realm of reality where this fucking disclosure tech is becoming real.
Wait, but so why do you need a CD-ROM drive?
Well, because to rip things.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Rip roaring,
baby. I guess it's a DVD-RW.
Well, I mean, yeah, because like, a lot of the new MacBooks and whatnot or I guess the Airs are foregoing that shit. And yeah, you can get like a drive that you care. They make them for Blu-rays too.
How else am I going to get audio from TJ Hooker episodes?
That's totally true.
So yeah, he's like, he's having a bad day. He comes in a little later than he should. He ruins his tie, and Dylan Baker
toothpaste
is like,
on my tie. God damn it,
Dylan Baker is, and also just take the fucking tie off at that point. Yeah, you're wearing a suit. Like, you're fine.
You look great. You're fucking Michael Douglas.
Exactly. Dylan Baker is like, have they told you? And Dylan's like, told you what, Dylan Baker? Ew.
Well, that's just like Dylan Baker.
Dylan Baker. Ew.
Yeah. Well, yeah. What are you gonna fucking say to me, creep?
Is that a teen bop underneath New York Times?
Isn't it just sad that happened to Dylan Baker? You do one fucking Todd Solondz movie, and
you did it too damn well.
That was it.
Yeah.
Right, but, he was jerking off to kids.
Yeah, Tiger Beat Magazine. Whatnot.
That's the one time you don't want to hit it right out of the park. You want to get a good, solid single on
like
that.
Like, he played an okay pedophile.
No, I feel like you should, do your best for every role you have. And if you do it well, maybe, yeah.
Well, you can't make a career out of playing pedophiles.
Has he done it more than once?
No, I don't know. That's Jackie Earl Haley's job.
What was it? Dylan Baker was in one of the Spider-Men.
He was in a couple of Spider-Men.
He was supposed to be a reptile.
All three, actually. Lizard.
Villain that never came to be.
What is the difference between Lizard and Reptile?
Well, Reptile's a Mortal Kombat character.
He had a mask.
Wait, did Spider-Man fight him?
No.
Probably in some crossover, right, Steve? Yeah.
Maybe one of them crossover video games they have?
The new Mortal Kombat, everyone, like Jason's in them, the Predator's in the new Mortal Kombat.
What? Just how stupid. Yeah. How stupid.
Wow, I gotta buy that.
Yeah, exactly.
Stupid.
They saw you coming. So Dylan Baker's like, oh, you came in late, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's looking for you.
He does the worst thing, though, when he's like, oh, man, have they told you yet?
Yeah.
And Michael Douglas is like, no, tell me what. And then he does, it's the most unforgivable thing where he's like, oh, I shouldn't say anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah, well,
fuck you, man, you brought it up. Are you kidding me?
You came here to play. Come on.
Basically, he says they're bringing in somebody else to take your position. You're not going to get the VP job. By the way, they might even fire you. And he starts like kind of freaking out a bit. And he says one of the many very 90s things. He's like, hey, you want a Prozac? That's an antidepressant. That's going to take a long time to get to you. Like, I got to take it now, and then maybe in a month it'll start kicking in. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I need to get on a regiment here.
I was a little surprised we got away from a Zima reference.
Oh,
here.
Yeah,
we,
that's
we,
it.
None
oh,
of them.
Yeah, I'm going to celebrate winning my sexual harassment case with an ice-cold Zima.
Why don't you go home and fuck a Zima?
So he goes to Sutherland's office. He's all on edge, and Demi Moore is there, and it's kind of revealed that they had a relationship in the past.
Right.
Which kind of, we got to get into what that means, because she's 33. They say that she's 33. Later right. in the movie, they say that like years ago, he's got kids who are about 8, 10.
Yeah.
8 tops.
Let's call it 8, all right? But he lived with her at some point. You know what I mean? He's yeah. like, what, she was she like 19? Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I think it was right out of high school.
Right.
Not
right.
only that, they went to Napa Valley together on romantic vacations.
Yeah, like this is a real, like, this isn't is like a weekend fling like she was like 24. Like this,
like they're checking into
on.
A hotel and they're like, oh, just you and your daughter then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I honestly feel like most of what Michael Douglas has coming to him is totally warranted.
In this movie.
In this movie.
Oh, yeah, I thought you meant in real life.
No, I mean, yeah.
I don't know about that.
He's a great guy.
He's okay. Gave Eric a high five
yes,
one time.
Yes, yes. We went to a screening of Ant-Man, and Michael Douglas gave me a high five.
And to be fair,
I was
Michael
on the
Douglas,
down low.
He was loaded.
Yeah, of course. He was fucked up, of course. Why else would he touch me? But just to show you, paint you a picture, folks at home, I was on the low down, right? And he was on the high up, and he gave me a smackdown.
Yeah, he was. And he was wearing like some Stan Lee sunglasses too. He was like really.
It was awesome.
It. Yeah,
he does he have the Hank Pym like facial hair going on?
No, no, he was clean shaven. He was lit. That was a great night. I also yelled at Bill O'Reilly and I said, "Sit down, Pinhead!" in the theater. It was fucking awesome. What a night!
So
greatest night ever.
Donald Sutherland is the boss, and he basically says, you know, we're promoting Demi Moore into the VP position, and right. like the whole thing is like Douglas is like, she doesn't know shit about hard drives, man. She's a corporate stooge. It's like, all right, I guess so.
But like, so we have to think the big picture here from this movie, because it's all this engineered thing to, I
the
guess,
Machiavellian
it's,
nonsense.
It's something.
To gobble up these Michael Douglas stock options is maybe the idea. So they're like, all right, did he ever fuck anybody in high finance? Like,
who can we?
Because it's like, did she get this job because they used to have a relationship? So that way it's easier to engineer this whole sexual harassment, whatever?
I think that she must have hatched the plan with Donald Sutherland.
But that's yes. what I'm saying, though. Is Sutherland the larger mind here? And he's like, well, I know that you know, he used to brag about fucking that woman quite a bit. Let's bring her in and give her a job.
Maybe.
Like, thankfully, she works in this kind of, you know, business, and she isn't like a fucking radio DJ.
Well, we certainly can't bring Glenn Close in here. She's gone.
Or was it happenstance? Like, they were going to hire her, and then they found out about it, and they were like, well, let's go with that angle.
Let's make this man go insane so we can get his stock options or whatever.
Maybe that's the thing. Maybe Sutherland had, like, minions, and he sent Glenn Close first.
Oh, those little yellow guys?
She's shot down by Douglas.
Yeah, those little yellow guys?
Yes.
Donald Sutherland is Gru.
Hey, minions, you want to get fucked? You little yellow boppers.
Oh. Why don't you go home and take those two minions out of your fridge and fuck them?
So let's get to it. I mean, this is the
it's
whole
the scene that the movie's based on. It's literally the only thing I remembered from watching this movie in the 90s.
Because this movie, again, this movie should be like, what happens when sexual harassment happens to a man? But it's not even that, though. Like,
no.
It falls short of that at every single turn. So like, basically, she's like, hey, you know, we're now on this team together. There's something going on with these hard drives. Meet me at 7 in my office. We'll talk it through. We'll have a work dinner kind of thing.
Meet me alone in my office after the sun has gone down so we can talk about hard drives.
Business. By the way, you got here at 7 o'clock in the morning. You'll leave at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's great.
Yep. And that's a life. That's apparently a life.
That's how you make the big
bucks. Why don't you nap in your car?
So he gets there. She's like, oh, you know, I got this wine that you love. You're a big wine head. Remember those times in Napa Valley and whatever when I was 14 years old?
I mean, I couldn't drink any of the wine then, but you appeared to enjoy it quite a bit.
Remember that time you went to the casino and you went and gambled and I had to be in that other area because I was not 21 yet? That was really exciting.
Yeah, I was at the playpen at McDonald's and you picked me up afterwards.
Remember you gave me your sister's ID?
Ew.
So she's like, I have some wine. Oh, my shoulders are bothering me. Could you rub my shoulders? And Douglas, this is when you just say, oh, got it. Nope. No, no, thank you.
That's the end of that.
I got to go home. The wife needs me, man. Yep, whatever.
Got to catch the ferry.
And he does give her a massage. And she's like, oh, you know, show me pictures of your family. And it's his wife in this movie is the mom from Hook, if you remember her.
Oh, yes. Right. Moira.
This woman is in incredible shape. Mm-hmm. Like top to bottom, yep. Fantastic shape.
And she's got a bowl cut. That's a little bit of a problem. Yeah, I mean, she's like, got a bowl cut. I understand fair. It's 1994, but you have a bowl cut. That sucks.
Fair is fair. She does have a bowl cut. And she is like, she looks at a picture of his wife. She's like, well, looks like she always has food in the fridge. And Douglas immediately just chimes in. He's like, yeah, she never really lost the baby weight. And I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch. You fuck.
His wife's like rail thin.
Exactly. What are we talking about?
I mean, I kind of get, she clearly has a J. Crew charge card. So, like, you know. But still, it's disgusting. He excuses it away instead of saying, boy, that's fucked up.
Yeah, or just like, I think she looks great. Yeah. You know, like, or whatever.
But
or like,
then doesn't Demi counter with, yes, like, yes, what like, I actually
meant?
She
looks like a good mother.
Yeah. 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 Like, I just meant that she appears to support her family well.
She's
like
a
whatever.
Good mother.
Yeah, she's fucking fat.
I just meant your kids are fat. That's really you what you say.
Like, you got, like, fat little porky kids. That's what I meant.
But do they sausages. Make you feel trapped?
You feel trapped at home with those little piglets?
You think they're going to eat you?
Your wife with a stupid haircut?
I mean, yeah, when you're right. So she, I mean, they have some drinks, and she, like, how does she start giving him a blowjob?
Well, she's kissing first. They start kissing.
Yes.
And, well, she's also, like, rubbing his dick.
And he's saying, no, we can't. No, we can't.
And it's
no,
like, you know, here's the thing, Michael Douglas. You are not stuck in a broom closet with this woman.
Yes.
You're in a huge fucking corporate president's office, like... There's plenty of space to spread out.
It's like 2,000 square feet. Like, yeah, just get up and
it's
leave.
Bigger than my home.
You get up and leave and you say, look, no misunderstandings, no hard feelings. This is what I'm in for. Goodbye.
Please don't rub my penis at work.
Exactly. And I mean, like, look, I understand that sexual harassment does work both ways. Sure. And it can happen to men and da-da-da-da-da, which is not what this movie's about. But it's, you know...
But it's what this movie pretends it's about.
But he wants to have sex with her. The movie tells you that. And then, like, as they're making out, she, like, starts to go down on him, and he's like, oh no,
oh god, no.
By
the way, you could have just dropped the nuclear option. There's always the nuclear option for men in this, but
I
have to take a shit.
Oh, whoa, that's it. Whoa, I never thought that's a good one.
No, dude. Out of nowhere, just say, I have to take a shit.
Oh, and then she's gonna be like, wait, you want to do caca plays?
I know. I just don't think she would have something ready.
Yeah,
there's nothing at the ready.
There is. No. There is. I mean, Chris Cabin is 200% correct because there is no appropriate I have to take a shit
when you're, especially when you're going down on somebody. Like, I gotta, it's gotta come out. Yeah,
get your fucking face out of there because I have to take a shit.
I had Hardee's for lunch,
guys. Just go for it, man. Just soil yourself. Just go all the way.
Like, it's like if you're being chased by a bear.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
shit your pants.
You're an animal and you just shit yourself to try to ward off the predator that's currently sucking you off.
Oh, no. You're an ugly motherfucker.
I have to take a shit.
If you find yourself in a Predator movie and he's sucking you off.
It's weird. I put all this mud all over my body so he couldn't find me, but then he started giving me oral sex.
I put this cold mud all over my body, but my penis was so hard and hot. He could see it with his heat vision. He could see the penis.
God,
and he started.
It.
Of course.
He went to...
But it doesn't stop there, though, because, like, so she, like, is filleting him for a little bit. And then
he gets super into it.
Yes.
Of course he does. And so then, like, you know, she stands up and they're making out and whatnot. And he's, like, he's loosely saying no.
Yeah.
And then, like, he flips out, and it's the line of the movie, because he just, like, and by the way, this office is under construction currently.
Yeah, sure.
There's a bunch of sawhorses all over the place and fucking plastic hanging from the ceiling.
It's Donald Glover's garage from Lethal Weapon 2.
Damn it. Danny Glover.
Danny, yeah.
But so then, like, he just takes her and, like, throws her across this construction site. And he's like, you want to get fucked, huh? And you're just like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah, he's
and
taking then his he's, belt off, baby.
He's definitely doing a little fucking digitizing, man. He's, like, getting his hand up there. And you're like, wait a second.
You're the victim here, buddy. And he's like, you want to get fucked. And, like, at that point, like, he's inside of her.
Yes.
He sees his reflection.
Wait, does he penetrate?
I think so.
No, I think he was about to.
I thought he was just about to lose his Timex.
Yeah, like, I think.
Oh, my God.
This was, you know, nobody saw it coming. It was an advanced We Hate Movies the whole time.
Yeah, that's true.
But he sees his reflection. He's like, oh, no, what have I become? I'm give me a break, dude.
True colors.
Yeah,
totally.
And he, like, leaves. And, like, he takes, like, this moral high ground after he just fingered this woman for 4 minutes. He's like, yeah, well, you could just, you think you're, you want to go fuck something? Go take those champagne bottles in your fridge and fuck them. And I'm like, whoa.
My thing was, I was like, both of them?
Yeah.
It was a great line, man.
It is a good line. And he walks out, and she, like, is really pissed off. And she's like, you're fucking dead. You hear me? You hear me? Whatever your character's name is. This movie, Michael Douglas, you hear me? And then
Tommy.
No, it's not.
Yes, it
is. It's Tommy, okay.
It's Sanders. Tommy?
Tom Sanders.
Tom Sanders.
Oh, yeah,
Tommy.
Sanders.
Because they keep calling him Sanders through the whole movie.
That's the other thing. So she, like, screams at him as he's getting out of the office, and some cleaning lady sees, and you're like, oh, that's what happened. The weird thing is, it's old office culture, because now we're all like, oh, we're going to go to Eric's office. Oh, Andrew is coming in. And even if you're the VP, it's like, oh, Andrew's coming in tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, we're all first names, but back then it was like last names, like we're on a fucking football team.
Yeah, no, it's very weird.
I want us to go back to last names.
Oh, yeah?
I find the first names too informal.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You need some respect?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't like that, though, man. It's like, I'm not, you know, on your softball team.
You could be.
Hey, Drupin, you get that done?
Yeah, exactly. I hate
Drupin.
Yeah, I hate that. It's very stupid.
Yeah, but if I hear my first name, I'm just, it's like, oh, the teacher's yelling at me.
What, really?
Yeah, that's how it feels like.
All right.
Mr. Siska.
I wish people would say that.
Oh, like it's the Twilight Zone and we're just walking around. You are 2 minutes late, Mr. Siska.
Yeah, exactly. It's 1955.
Yep.
That's my desired reality, apparently.
So Michael Douglas is, apparently.
Oh, sure. So he goes home and he's like, oh, God, I can't believe I got sexually harassed at work. It's outrageous.
I better wash my hands real quick. Can't believe that sexual harassment was really out of control. Wash, wash, wash.
And this is, it's, of all the ridiculous shit that happens in this movie, this is one of the most ridiculous parts, because he goes home, he still has Demi Moore all over him, and he goes inside, and the wife is home, and he's like, yeah, I'm just going to take a shower real quick. Yeah,
well, he's got
this
huge scar.
And he's got this hilarious fucking Catwoman scar.
Also, red flag, your husband just came home at 2 in the morning and needs to immediately take a shower.
Yeah, totally. And so then, like, she comes in, and of course, they're, like, loaded, so it's this amazing glass shower. Mm-hmm. And he's in there showering, and he doesn't, like, turn around because he's trying to hide his chest, and she comes in to have this, like, shower conversation. I was like, get the fuck out of
here. No, she's bringing him a beer.
Oh, that's right. Could you get me a beer?
The balls on this guy. He just cheated on his wife for a good long while. He comes home and he's like, he passes the kitchen, goes upstairs, asks her to get him a beer so he can, like, you know, shower off the stank.
Yeah.
And she comes back because, like, he just got passed over for promotion. He's been in a bad mood. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry about the promotion. He's like, yeah, shut up. And he puts on a shirt, and she's like, you never wear a shirt too bad. He's like, I feel cold.
It's no, before that, though, it's even worse, because he gets out of the shower, and he's holding the shower over his chest like he's concealing a bosom.
Yeah.
Oh, the towel, yeah.
Yeah, he, like, won't remove this towel from his chest, and I'd be like, what are you doing?
What did you get scratched by a woman that you're having sex with?
Yeah, let me guess.
Now a giant raccoon jumped out of the bushes in the front yard.
He's trying to take the recycling out.
Yeah, I don't think it's rabies, but we can't be sure.
Where's that beer?
By the way, where's the beer?
And then the audacity of this movie. Like, he climbs into bed. He's wearing, like, some conference final t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And she has the line, like Steve said, like, oh, you never wear a shirt to bed. He's like, yeah, I gotta chill. And they're watching The Apartment on TV.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm just like, oh, well, that's a better movie.
Oh,
that's a better movie, hands down, The Apartment.
And so he doesn't know what he's going to do the next day. There's a lot of like goings on. Oh, Demi Moore says, oh, by the way, the 8:30 meeting was pushed back to 9:30. He's like, oh, a fucking normal time for a meeting? Awesome.
Yeah. Well, that's, he should have known something was up.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen,
yeah.
Like, you just walked out on, well, they engaged in that sexual thing, and then she started, yelling at him.
Yeah, I'm going to ruin your life. Half, yeah.
And then by the time he gets home, she had called his wife to tell him about the time change of the meeting.
Yeah.
Why the fuck would you ever believe that?
No. Yeah, that's why true. How about you never go into work again?
Or
that's really your best option.
I'm going back immediately and sleeping there because who knows what time this meeting is going to start. And as it turned out, 7:30 in the morning, yep. This presentation. God, that's some masochistic
why
shit.
Why would you have a presentation of a virtual reality system at 7:30 in the morning? I still can't get over this.
It's shocking. It's shocking and it's upsetting.
And you have clients coming and you're going to ask someone from outside to come in at that time?
Oh, yeah. I know you don't live here and you're just visiting, but could you get here? Could you make sure you wake up at 3 in the morning?
You got to be up the same time road crews get up.
Yeah. Try to beat those truckers getting out early. And
the ice road truckers getting out of Seattle.
There is so much like snappy snap screenplay going on in this
sure,
movie
because
like he goes in to talk to his team and I'm like, what fucking 90s Brown sitcom am I watching? Because everyone's wearing earth tones.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We're all sitting in a big office and we're fucking talking about the power dynamics of men and women in the office and blah blah
oh,
blah.
It's snappy
and
as
size
shit.
Doesn't matter. And deepity boobity bop. And I'm like, get me the fuck out of here, suddenly, Susan. I don't need it.
And so the team is Dennis Miller, the woman who plays Jason Segel's mom on How I Met Your Mother,
oh,
and
nice.
Some dude who, had he transferred to action movies, could have been Kurt Cobain's stunt double.
Yes. Oh, or Cato Kaelin. Yeah. He would have been a great Cato Kaelin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
My wife actually was wondering if Cato Kaelin had auditioned for this role.
Might have been in Point Break.
Yes, I think he might be.
Might have been
oh,
in Point
shit.
Break.
Oh, shit. Not bad.
Not bad.
It's a big year for this guy.
So, got the hair for it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Point Break was earlier, right? It was 91,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Better movie.
Fucking hands down a better movie.
So
kidding me?
We didn't talk about, so that night after he goes to sleep after the sexual assault, the sexual harassment, not sexual assault, he has a nightmare about Donald. So you cut to him and Donald Sutherland.
Best
going,
part of the movie.
Going into an elevator.
It's a bad transition, by the way, because it's Michael Douglas in bed with his wife, and we do this like the camera kind of just like moves down in front of the bed, and it's like a wipe to black, and then it's like the outside of the office building the next morning.
Yeah. Which we should have realized that this movie's doing the Shining thing, so it should have said Tuesday.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, so he's in an elevator and it's him and Donaldson. And Donaldson's like, oh, that's a nice suit, Tom. What kind of fabric? He's doing the George Costanza thing. Right?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. He's like,
may I touch that fabric?
And he's like, he's talking about how it drapes his buttocks or something.
Oh, that's right. Well, actually, this is the telltale sign that this is a dream sequence because Michael Douglas is in an amazing suit. His hair's slick back like Gordon Gekko himself.
Uh huh.
And in reality, we've seen this son of a bitch come to work. He's got fucking toothpaste all over the place. He looks like a crinkled up L.L. Bean catalog. It's disgusting.
No, he looks like he's strolling into Fucktown, so.
And he's like, oh, Tom, you're so sexy, Tom. And he like grabs, it turns into Peep Show for a second. Because he opens his mouth towards the camera. And he's like, ah.
Oh, man. And it's just like, hey, viewer. If you ever wanted to know what it was like to be tongued by Donald Sutherland,
Oyster Cam.
Yeah, Oyster Cam.
Fucking Disclosure, now in theaters. Gross.
That was all right. Yeah,
but so then, like, Michael Douglas wakes up, like, screaming.
Like Freddy Krueger got him.
Oh, man. That's what he should have said to his wife. Oh. So that the claw marks on his chest.
Oh no, Krueger's back.
I think Krueger's back. I think he's more than just Elm Street these days.
He moved to Seattle.
Remember when we got that pervert janitor burned alive? Well, it seems like he's attacking us in our dreams.
Ah, turns
God,
out
another Fred, thing.
Turns out Freddy likes gray suits now.
He's tired with the kids, he's going for the parents.
Oh, why would you even put this in for fucking anything?
I'm in Disclosure!
virtual reality, that's pointless.
Dennis Miller, you're next.
Oh, you please, God. Are you going to slice me and dice me, babe, or what? You got a ninja chop there? What do you got?
Come on, Donald, give me some tongue.
Oh, man, they trap Freddy in the VR thing?
Yes.
This is business casual Tron! This is worse than hell. 7:30 meeting. No.
Oh God, it's so stupid.
So on Tuesday, he decides to press charges. I think.
Boom. Tuesday.
Dude, listen, listen. Like
it takes so long.
By all weeks. What the fuck? Like, if you're gonna press charges for this, which you probably shouldn't. I mean. Because you know, I mean, he kind of was complicit a little.
Yeah. It's you're complicit,
and you don't tell
you have
your
a previous relationship. Like, there's so many things that you know that this is not a good situation for you to have a case.
Right? He should have walked away.
Yeah,
just fucking left.
Yeah,
because his wife, you know, his wife was saying earlier in the film, like, oh, you should just quit or whatever.
They right? She could go back to like practicing law full time. They'd be okay financially.
They would definitely be okay financially. Look at their fucking house.
Yeah, they're also ultra low.
But he would feel like a cuck.
Oh, one of those cucks that keep reading.
Because his wife, a 1994 like... cuck. Yeah.
Oh it's, this God. Is a proto cuck, man. Like, he just can't stand it.
The industry is about to bottom out anyway.
Yes,
also
the VR industry is not going to. Oh no, the Virtual Boy is going to cut our throats.
Fuck you, Nintendo.
You want to get fucked, Nintendo?
Everybody's complaining about 2008. I was in 1995, the real 2008.
Mario, you want to get fucked? Oh!
What the hell?
So yeah, he decides to do this or whatever. But the other thing is, she has made the announcement beforehand to like Sutherland and maybe Dylan Baker. That because she like says at first, like he sexually harassed me in this meeting last night.
Yeah,
and then like Dylan Baker again, like kind of pulls him over to the side and he's just like, oh, so I heard what happened, huh? Well, that was a bad move on your part, buddy. Yeah. And then he's like, what are you talking about? What did she say? And he's like, oh, nothing. Mm-hmm.
That's first of all, that's not how this would... I mean, your office would be taped up.
Yeah.
Your fucking files would be in a box outside of that. You are being sued or let go of. It's not this casual, or like, hey, buddy, I heard you. You know?
Or it's just like, oh, hey. Oh, it's weird. The head of HR never calls me in the middle of the day. Yeah, hi, Janice. Oh, yeah, I'll be right over. Oops.
Yep. That's the end of that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy, you raping people in the office now?
It's not cool.
So then it's just kind of, for the briefest of times in this movie, it is this sexual harassment thriller.
It is, but he's also getting these emails.
Oh, God.
There's also a little bit of intrigue going on. Uh-huh. I mean, this is where the thriller part comes in.
Uh-huh.
You know, so, like, he's getting these emails, and this is classic 90s movie, like, bogus email interface shit. Yep. Oh, do I love it.
It's like an envelope opens up, and here comes your mail. It's going to take 41 minutes.
It's kind of like what we can do.
It's like animated DVD menus.
Exactly.
It's like, I just want to fucking watch Ghostbusters.
I don't need to explore the X Mansion. I just want to watch X2.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, this whole thing goes down. But yeah, so he's getting. Oh, so that's right. So he's getting these emails, and it's like, keep following the clues. Yeah. Nothing is as it seems. And I was like, what is
and it all a friend?
And oh, every yeah. single time he gets like five of these fucking emails, and every single time. He goes to be like, reply. Let me see who this is from. And it's like, you cannot reply. It is left blank. And he's like, oh. But we have to like watch it load. It's amazing.
Every single you have to watch him toggle the mouse to get there.
I got the hourglass now. Oh, right. That's just terrific.
Now I'm going to be even later to the 6:45 meeting.
By the way, there was one moment where Demi Moore gives a speech, and she's talking about like the future of the internet and everything. And
this is the speech where porno music is playing over it.
It also, not only does it have that, it has that, you know, the crumbling of the white man like in this dialogue. It's amazing. She talks about how in the future it'll be, you know, everything will be free of gender and race. And
right.
Everyone will be like just a consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is terrifying.
Oh, he's all afraid. Yes. He doesn't want to get cuck.
And you know what this means? She is just showing us the future That is MTV's Catfish.
Yeah.
It's coming, Dan. It's, you're staring down the barrel of a gun right now.
You're talking to somebody. You don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They're probably at their cousin's house.
They're always at their cousin's house, right?
Yeah, they are.
You made that observation.
I did. So, but here's
oh,
the thing.
That's what, oh, you were calling them Catfish.
Yes.
Oh, I saw your tweet about that. I was like, is he at like a seafood restaurant? I don't understand what's happening.
The weird thing, there's this other guy that's a dropped thread of many. There's this guy, he takes the ferry every day, and this guy's unemployed.
Oh, love this guy.
And he's like, oh, they tossed me out after 20 years, Tom. Yeah. You know, they're coming for you. And he's like, oh, hey, you know, I feel real bad. Also, I'm just trying to fucking be on the ferry, read my fucking book, goddammit,
and talking to this brick.
He gets a call on his brick from Cindy, his, I guess, his assistant.
Yes.
And
the woman who is in Star Trek Generations playing Sulu's granddaughter.
Really?
Wow.
Serving on the Enterprise B.
Deep cut.
I'll be out in the parking lot if anyone wants an autograph. It'll cost you $25 outside this VFW hall.
So he's talking to her, and he mentions Cindy, and this dude over here says, like, Cindy, huh? Well, she probably wants your job.
Well, of course
she should be
does.
Able to have fun with the girls.
Yes,
now they
that.
Want your job. No. I'm a monster.
Just like, what are you talking what are about? You,
yeah.
But no, it's even worse, Eric, because he goes, he's like, you know, I feel right here. Call my assistant, Cindy. She'll set something up. They'll hook you up with the HR. He's like, Cindy, huh? That sounds like a hot name. They used to have fun with the girls. I'm like, I'm trying to help you. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I don't want this pervert in my office.
sir, this seems to be a little Caesar stamp card that you gave me here. Yeah, on the phone.
Yeah. Pizza, motherfucker. Also, this is what I hate, because you know what? I have the fucking same commute every day, man. I take a bus to a train to my office, right? And along that way, on both the bus and on the train, I see similar people every day.
Of course you do.
If one of these fucking people decided to just start talking to me, oh, I don't think
you'd
so.
Break their
you'd buy
legs.
A car.
Yeah. I did do that for a little bit. But I mean, no, it's just like, what are you doing? Don't talk to people you see on your commuter. Just because you guys are on the ferry at
the
same
the thing,
time,
Andrew,
shut up.
This is West Coast. All those people love talking to each other.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
it's just outrageous.
It's a cesspool. You know,
if I was Michael Douglas, I would not have given him my business card, because what? So then that dude's going to be working in my office? Ugh. Now I'm commuting with a coworker?
Listen, Dylan Baker would just be like, oh, hey there, buddy. Wait, so you raping people around the office and trying to get other rapists into the office? I mean, we interviewed this guy, and like, he was just talking about how he wants to like assault Cindy.
Cindy's a valued member of this company.
I don't know what kind of thing you're thinking of there, bud. Anyway, you can still count as me as a friend.
A friend.
Whenever anyone says a friend, it just like boom, boom. Let's wait 5 seconds before the movie starts again. Just because you're like, wait, did he send the email? Wait, no, did. Maybe Cindy's a friend.
Yes.
Cindy, are you a friend?
Oh, yeah. That's right. He's like, hey, Cindy, are you a friend? She's like, what? And he's like, are you, you know, Cindy, a friend? Cindy, you get it?
Is this some kind of sex slang, sir?
That's Cindy? What it comes off as, because he's also patting her ass. And then she joins in like the testimony against him.
That's right. So they decide. Him. So this whole thing happens and he gets a lawyer. Who's, I guess, a big famous lawyer for sexual harassment.
Cynthia Alvarez or something. To which, man, some of the clunkers in this movie, Donald Sutherland's like, he hired Cynthia Alvarez. That woman would change her name to TV listings just to get it in the paper.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'll be here all week.
There's that. The wife also is like, who'd you get? And he's like, I got Cynthia Alvarez. And she's like, oh, great. Can't wait to go on hard copy. I was like, oh, the 90s.
Ew.
Hard copy. Ew.
All right, who's going to say something about a current affair? Go.
So, yeah, he gets this woman... like he calls her at what 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock in the morning. He meets her at noon, and by 1 o'clock, she's got a meeting scheduled, a deposition scheduled for the next fucking day.
Oh, we really got to cram this all in, man.
Why this doesn't take place over a series of months or weeks or something like that?
Here's the thing: like, there's so many parts of this mystery that like unfold that really would warrant like lots of exploration and
sure.
and time. Mainly, there's one point where he just opens an email and it just says, "Is your cock hard now?" And I was like, "Well, I got to spend 2 months alone on that."
I get emails like that all the time.
Who sent me that?
Is that a friend?
No,
that this must be also a friend.
The first spam. I've uncovered the first spam, all right?
Because it's that, and then there's another one that just says pig.
Oh, that's right.
Pig, period.
Get this. They want me to take penis pills to make it bigger, all right?
Male vitality serum. InfoWars. Emailing you, Michael Douglas. Don't be red-pilled out of the world or whatever.
InfoWars@AOL.com.
Best barbecue, online barbecue you can buy, pig dot.
Oh, wow, yeah. No, I like what he's saying about feminism, and Sandy Hook didn't happen.
Got some good points here.
I think Demi Moore is a crisis actor.
Well, imagine my shock.
So
Sweden, we have this. Sweden's a cesspool, huh? You can't walk down the street in Sweden without being killed by immigrants.
That's the hero of this movie, man.
Pretty much.
It's
mediation.
It's mediation. And in, he has to go tell his wife. I'm sorry. He goes out to dinner with Dennis Miller and his wife.
Oh, yep.
And Dennis Miller gets gotten to by Donald Sutherland, basically saying, like, he's going to fuck up the merger and he's going to cost you millions of dollars in stock options. He's like, you had to do it, huh? You had to sabotage my one big shot, huh, buddy?
Yep.
And he's like doing Dennis Miller acting, and he's like, yeah, I'm not going to be scouted by the NBA. This is my whole fucking deal, man. And I'm like, please, Dennis Miller, don't be in movies.
Yeah, please, God, don't be in movies.
If you possibly can.
So, also, but Dennis Miller became this person.
Yes, well, yeah, also. But he blows up his spot to his wife, and his wife's like, wait, what happened? His wife kind of like does this thing like, where she pretends she knows what's going on.
So that was my question.
She doesn't look like a fucking fool in front of everybody.
Okay, because that was my question. Is that what she was doing?
Yes.
I thought there was, because it was that, which yeah. I thought it's what it was. But also, this movie's terrible. And I was like, did we just leave a scene out?
Yeah.
Because she's like, yeah. You know what? Tom told me everything.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And then they have a fight in like a subway station.
Like they got to take the BART or something. Seattle.
It's like a big, like, come on, baby. I mean, I didn't mean to do it. Come on, it was just a little kiss.
Well, he's like, yeah, she came on to me. I didn't do anything. And he neglects to mention the do you want to get fucked or the blowjob.
Forgets the beach. Mm, yeah. He forgets to mention the beach.
But he goes from apologetic to indignant in like 0 to 60, man.
Yep.
Because she's like, I can't believe you did this thing. Oh, well, I guess I'm just a white male. It's the patriarchy all over again. Because she says, like, you know, if you get sexually harassed, I've been sexually harassed before. I didn't say anything about it because that's what women just have to go through. And he's like, well, I guess men are just different. And there's, like, some cleaning lady in his house at this point. And he's like, hey, Cindy, you want to come down here? I want to fuck you. I'm going to fuck you. I'm going to show my patriarchal urges. And
it's like, kind of awesome because it's like this really decrepit old woman.
Yes.
Cut to the kids at the stairs.
Well, this lady's like, please, the kids are asleep. He's like, come on down here, you old bag. You want to get fucked? I'll fuck you, too.
It's so weird. And his wife is just like, oh, I guess I won't divorce you. Why? Like, fuck this guy. This guy is rotten to the core.
Yeah, like, you know. A couple years back, you were married to Robin Williams. He turned out to be Peter Pan. Who knows what's out there?
Hello, well, boy.
From forever young to forever old.
So the next day, of course, is the mediation. Alan Rich? The old fuck Demi Moore's attorney.
F. Lee Bailey motherfucker.
Yeah,
oh, I don't know. The actor, I don't know.
But this guy's awesome, though.
He is awesome. So basically, they both have lawyers. We're just taking statements. It's not a trial yet. I'm surprised it's not a trial.
Well, there's a judge there, but yeah, you're right.
Like, why not? Just do it. And they're disclosing things.
Whoa.
Hey.
Disclosure.
Was there like a Taco Bell tie-in for Disclosure?
Yep.
Talk about hot sauce.
You get a plastic cup with Demi Moore's face ground into Michael Douglas's crotch.
Is that on a cup?
It's a tie-in. And it's like the one perfect shot of the film.
And the sticker's the back of her head, and you peel it off.
Exactly.
God. Yeah.
I don't know. If you peel it off and it says you finish, you win.
Well, Well, it must have been. He must have tried for something because you got Jurassic Park. There was tie-ins all over the place. Congo had shit.
We here at Taco Bell, we want to be in the Michael Crichton business. What's the next movie? Disclosure? Was that time travel?
Oh wait, no. It's a picture of a fat lawyer saying, "Did you get a boner?" little bubble next to him.
That's actually
a boner.
They printed special napkins at Taco Bell was what it was. And it was all the emails. So you just got a napkin and you're eating your chili cheese burrito and you go to wipe your mouth and you look at it and it says, "Is your cock hard yet?"
Disclosure in theaters.
Pig.
Pig would be perfect.
Yeah, pig would be perfect. I'd think twice about eating that fifth taco.
So there, it's in Disclosure, and this is when we find out they used to live together, and like this is when his wife has to hear about the blowjob and the "Do you want to get fucked" part and all the stuff.
Well, no, because that's the thing.
Oh, the toys.
There's so it's like, okay, tell us what happened, and we go through the whole thing about the blowjob and the fingering, and you want to get fucked hot and that whole thing, and sit on a champagne bottle or whatever. But then at one point during the disclosing, they're like, "Oh, yeah, so you had this prior relationship, and what was going on there?" "Yes, it's a lot of mindless sex and sodomy and toys and sex vacations."
Uppers, downers, nitrate, just
fucking goats.
And exactly how old was she? And how old were you?
Uh-huh, I see. Well, there's a lot coming out during this disclosure.
Listen, all right, she had a permission slip, all right? And his poor wife is sitting there next to all of this.
Why would you bring the wife to the disclosure?
To seem like credible is the idea. It's like,
she's turned white as a ghost at this point.
Well, because like we mentioned, though, like he conveniently leaves out that beach, man. So then that comes and it cuts immediately to her. And it's a really bad shot of like the two of them. And it's fucking out of focus and terrible. And I don't know what's going on, but like he's kind of like slowly turning to look like, "Oh crap, forgot about the beach."
And he winds up, he's again like screaming at her. She's like, "I can't believe you got a blowjob." He's like, "Oh, come on, baby." And it's like, "What are you talking about?
We're just talking about sucking dicks, baby." She had all the power. I couldn't do anything. And it's awesome because then like the lawyer comes in and she's like, "Hey, who's hungry?"
Yeah.
He's like, "I got to go back to work." But then this is, I mean, so we're talking, this movie is 2 hours and 8 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And you want to talk about a fucking deleted scene. Cut to the lawyer and the wife, because the lawyer's like, "Oh, you know, Mrs. Sanders, are you hungry?"
Yeah.
And she's like, "Yes." Cut to them walking around the goddamn Seattle fish market talking legalese. And I'm like, deleted scene. Deleted scene.
Cut it
deleted
out.
Scene.
Well, we would lose the line. She's like, "Well, how are you feeling?" She's like, "Well, 48 hours ago, my husband's penis is in another woman's mouth. How should I feel?"
Yeah. Oh, yep. Classic.
Swish. Yeah, man.
Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and also, everyone's calling me fat for some reason. I'm in fantastic shape.
By the way, what was that about? Because that also comes up.
It does,
up.
Yeah. He's like, "Oh,
Demi
yeah.
Moore mentions that."
He's like, "Oh, he said that his wife got fat." She's like, "Excuse me."
That's what she should have just like walked out like, "Fuck this."
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Oh, Lord.
And there's more fifth dimensional chess. We're finding out more about the drives, and these things don't work. He's like got vid chats with some guy in Malaysia that I could care less about.
Beautiful. Like better than Skype with this guy.
Yep.
What? We were obsessed with the idea of video chat.
Well, you know, science fiction in the 60s got us all jazzed up about it.
And now we're
there,
and I don't want any part of it.
No,
people
no.
will be like,
"Sucks.
If I get a FaceTime,
no.
end call.
Yeah. Call, yeah. call, block caller, delete content."
Exactly.
You privileged lives. I have a fucking. I work remotely.
Yeah.
So all of my meetings are Skype
you're
meetings.
Fucking
lying. Why can't you just be on the fucking phone?
Yeah.
Because they want to see your face to see you. You know,
make sure you got a shirt on.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Like that.
I quit. Want to see my face? Fuck you.
You don't deserve to see my face.
Seriously.
So after lunch, this is when they bring in Cindy.
Uh-huh.
And they're, you know, "Oh, Jesus Christ, they got to you too, Cindy?" Like, so then she's testifying.
Because also, we neglected to mention, Michael Douglas likes to pat her on the butt with file folders.
I wasn't noticing this. Do
that
you see
that
in that the
happens.
Movie?
Yeah, okay. Like he does that. And he's like, "Oh, it's just a thing we do." And she's like, and she plays it really well. She's like, you know, like, "It makes me really uncomfortable. I don't like it. I don't really like him because of it. Like, it sucks.
It's a thing that's terrible." So she mentions the ass patting with folders, and she says, like, "Oh, and, you know, sometimes, like, he'll, like, pat me on the shoulder or whatever." Yeah. And I immediately thought, to our intrepid chief engineer, Jordy LaForge, and his fucking shoulder touches that he's always doing on TNG.
Yeah, he's grabbing everybody.
He's always like, oh, Data, let's see what we can do about this. Pat. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, Reg, let's get down to the transporter room. Pat. Nobody and I'm like, stop fucking touching people, LaForge.
Nobody needs to touch anybody at work. Handshake, maybe.
There should be a disclosure episode of like LaForge being brought in.
He's on trial.
Oh, Jordy, we're going to get all your stock options.
Oh, Jordy, it says here you got an email that says, is your cock hard yet?
Really, Jordy, you forgot about the beach.
Number one, we're going to have to do mediation now.
Do you have a boner yet, Jordy?
Let me look at your holodeck logs. Oh, my God.
Oh, this man should be executed immediately.
Captain, are you a friend? I don't know what you're on about.
Take that visor away from him. That's horrible.
Take his visor away.
He would pat me on the behind with a tricorder. Oh, poor Jordy LaForge.
Yeah, he never did it.
Poor Jordy LaForge.
So we kind of march on, and these things are kind of coming to a head. The next day, he kind of cracks the case wide open because he realizes that, like, he was making a phone call to somebody. When
he thought he was calling Dennis Miller.
Dennis, first time caller, long time listener. Yeah, I do believe that healthcare is a sham.
Yeah, all those blue pills, they don't know what's going on.
So, no, but he thought he was calling Dennis Miller, but, right. I guess he called some other guy.
It's just some, and this is, I mean, color me confused. He's like, oh, yeah, I called fucking Gary Klein. I was like, who the fuck is Gary Klein? And then he meets with some dude, and this movie's so terribly made, they meet in silhouette. I'm like, who the fuck is this guy?
It's like
a sales associate. Like, it's nobody.
This scene is like, it's like All the President's Men.
Yeah, totally. This dude's like the deep throat of this movie.
But the funny thing is, so this guy's like, oh yeah, I got this weird call from you about wanting to get fucked. It was really weird. He's like, oh, man, you just saved my life. And he's like, yeah, I was going to delete it, but then me and my girlfriend started listening to it.
He was implying that he was either having sex or masturbating to the tape of this.
I believe it would be the latter.
Yeah. I was getting blown listening to you get blown, buddy.
He immediately calls his lawyer when he receives the tape without listening to it and saying, like, don't accept their terms. We got it. Yeah.
Oh, I was getting nervous. I was like, he's about to be humiliated.
When they do play it, It's crystal clear audio. Like, what the fuck? It sounds better than a We Hate Movies live show. I don't understand it. I don't understand how clear it is. It's a phone tossed across the room
from 1994.
What? Every little nuance of dialogue, almost.
It's pristine.
Except for audio. It doesn't pick up. You want to get fucked, right?
No.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Neglects to be.
It's the loudest part of
but
the
But so much of him getting a blowjob. No.
Oh, God. I got a boner.
Come on, Gallagher.
Oh, my boner, Gallagher. I can do it, Mark. I can get sexually harassed, Mark.
Goes both ways, goddammit. I took a red pill. I see everything now. Because splat.
That fucking dirty woman sexually harassed me, goddammit.
Smash her watermelons.
You want to get fucked?
Oh, no.
Huh?
Mark. And you bought this exotic watermelon wine that's not available within 500 miles of Seattle.
Oh, that's a fucked up thing, though. Because, so his lawyer is like, so you presented Mr. Sanders with this wine that was, something that you knew Mr. Sanders to be sort of an amateur wine connoisseur
back in your high school days.
Yeah, exactly. Right when you were failing biology, and he took you on a sex vacation
when you were in the seventh grade.
And, it's this whole thing about, like, it's this very rare bottle of wine.
Sure.
And, she's like, well, yeah, I just asked my assistant to go get it. And the lawyer's like, uh-huh. Well, do you know no liquor store in the city of Seattle sells this? As a matter of fact, no liquor store in a 500-mile radius sells this. And then Demi Moore throws this assistant under the bus. She's like, well, everybody knows that Anne has a drinking problem. Maybe she just brought it from home.
The assistant threw her under the bus, too. Like it said like she wasn't involved in this or something.
Yeah, like she's basically like, this one's crazy.
Well,
yeah.
She's trying to keep her head down.
Yeah. Sure.
And also, Demi Moore has been working there for approximately 48 hours.
Yep. So basically, Demi Moore, it all comes out. The tape like sinks her, even though it kind of shouldn't, but it does. And she's like, well, I'm a sexually aggressive woman, and you know, you want us all. She makes this whole speech about like
it's a
sexual dominance and some such and whatever, and like that's not this movie.
No,
it's a classic. Not this movie.
Because later we're fucking dealing with virtual reality.
So basically, he wins the case and he signs away these terms, and whoops, they can't fire him now, but. They can't fire him for this, but they can fire him for mass incompetence because that's just how shit works.
So now, twist, they still want to get rid of him. He thought he was vindicated completely, but there's another conspiracy to prove his incompetence. And then he's just like, ah, shit, I got to learn my job.
Yeah.
So now it's like Billy Madison, like fucking... You know, like studying for the test, cramming.
I mean, it's outrageous. Like, he's working late once again. Like, on the day he settles this suit, he is still working long into the night.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, I'm like, this is not the industry for me.
And his wife is just like, oh, man, you know what was so cool? Like, 72 hours ago, my husband got a blowjob, and I haven't seen him since.
Yeah, and that's weird, isn't it?
That's awesome.
But then, so, like, he stumbles upon Dylan Baker and Demi Moore in the office, and she's on, like, a Stairmaster or something?
That's another, there's a couple of lines about these women and the way that they're overtaking men, one of which is the guy from Point Break, probably. He's like, man, it's like the Amazons, dude. They're on Stairmasters 24/7. They could kill us all, man.
Oh, that's
like,
right.
What are you talking about?
And that's something that Michael Douglas says later to Dylan Baker when, after the whole, you know, thing goes down, and then Dylan Baker's like, so she's saying that you sexually harassed her last night, buddy.
Yeah.
And he's like, what are you talking about? Did you see her? She could kick the shit out of both of us. I was like, what?
Not really?
She's She-Hulk. Haven't you seen?
Meanwhile, it's like tiny little Demi Moore. You're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Michael Douglas?
Ever. So yeah, but on the Stairmaster, he overhears that they're like, well, destroy him tomorrow because the big meeting's going to happen. He's going to look like a fool.
Right.
And
it's yet another presentation. I think at my count, there are five presentations in this movie.
Even if you survive the final presentation, why would you want to still work with Dylan Baker?
It's the final presentation.
And Donald Sutherland as well.
Like a fucking bastard.
Exactly. So he has to go to this hotel and log into the VR system to get the files from Malaysia.
Holy shit.
And it's
he puts on this fucking helmet.
It's just
so embarrassing to watch this thing.
It is no business in this movie whatsoever.
Hey, Angel, bring up the Malaysia file.
Oh, God.
Angel, like this little flying...
It's
dude.
The guy. It's Point Break guy.
Is it? Okay.
It's, well, first of all, it's bullshit for two reasons. One, well, it's like their version of Clippy, I guess is the idea. But also, this thing is totally sentient because, like... Michael Douglas is just like, hey, Angel, can you help me out? And like David Boreanaz walks in and he's like, not you, the other one. But so then this dude is like, what can I help you with, Michael Douglas? And he's just talking to this thing. And the thing is talking back. Yep. And I'm like, virtual reality plus artificial intelligence is brought into this thing?
For filing cabinets.
And then like he's reading these documents and then Demi Moore logs online, not in VR, so she's just like
it's just her avatar. Yeah. It's so weird.
And she's deleting the files and she luckily I guess she can't see that Michael Douglas is hanging out in VR reading them.
Right.
And then he's just like, Angel, you were supposed to protect the files. Like what?
She goes in here to delete all the files,
uh-huh.
But then waits a minute or two before deleting all the videos and audio, which would be the bigger fucking evidence anyway.
Also, she anyone see the rack on this avatar? It's ridiculous. Like,
totally,
because she's a female. Like it's
that's
this like,
female. female.
Avatar thing. It's like this like bodacious babe. Like, what are we talking about?
It's like a grid outline of a person with a humongous rack.
And what they're doing at this
and a nice
is...
bottom to boot.
Oh, hello, Data. The holodeck has come alive and it's quite buxom.
Data, I told you to clean that. It's covered in cum.
No, this is where like the thriller part of cyber thriller starts to, and they're trying to make this as nail biting as possible because it's like Michael or Donald Sutherland and all these businessmen are going to come up to the hotel suite to try out the technology, and you know it's like, oh no, Michael Douglas, they're coming, and you don't know it. But then also like in the VR world, this Demi Moore avatar keeps sneaking up on him, and it like will come into the frame.
It moves like
from
a ghost.
Behind. Yeah, and it's just like, da, 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 da. And like, oh no, there it is again. Oh God, oh computer, come on, don't delete this. Oh no, God. And it keeps like spooking him.
And it does that stupid movie thing where like they're opening the door, and when they do, he's been gone for a couple minutes. And
man,
it's like,
that
well,
sucks.
That's just my least favorite thing.
It's really stupid.
But the worst part about this is how he cracks the... In both instances, he cracks two cases by someone just coming up and dumping evidence into his lab, because this other guy from Malaysia is getting Disneyland tickets.
He has been working his tits off to get this dude discount tickets to Disneyland.
Oh, Mohammed Jafar.
Jafar himself.
Yes.
Is coming
from not something horrible. We're saying this is the actual character's
name. Yeah, that's the actual character.
The character's name, Mohammed Jafar, is coming from Malaysia with his family to go to fucking Disneyland. And Michael Douglas has been working his ass off to get these tickets for him. And so he calls him up. He's like, hey, Mohammed, I am really in a whole lot of shit, but I had to call you in the middle of the night to tell you I got you those Disneyland tickets. And this dude's just like, oh, cool. My family's going to be so happy. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you go in, by the way, you like drop my name. You're going to get a discount at the hotel. Like, it's this. I was like,
I'm just a really nice guy who likes to fuck.
What is their relationship too? Because this Mohammed just like, I miss your face, Tom.
I think they're
well,
like,
you should
old
talk
co-workers.
To that fat guy you work with, because I'm always on the video chat.
So this dude helps him out. He's like, oh, you know, do you guys back up your files the same way we back up our files? He's like, yeah, just tell me what you need. So he then creates in a night, because this movie, we're cramming all of this into 5 days. He gets this whole case together against Demi Moore.
And faxes all night long to the office. I can just imagine like Donald Sutherland getting in the morning, like, picking up every phone. It's like, what is going on?
I just imagine like the doors are heaving. And but just papers.
But that's the stupid thing too, is like, because he comes in the office, Cindy's there before him as always, and she's picking up this big like ream of paper, because it's an old fax machine where like it doesn't break.
It's continuous. Yeah.
Yeah, it's continuous, and it's like all over the place. She's like, this fax has been coming in since 7 o'clock in the morning. I was like, well, if it's been going on for hours, it would have run out of paper by now, right? Or is somebody reloading the machine every 5 minutes?
This is school. Maybe it's another. This is why this dude is unqualified for this job, to work for this company, because you enact this whole thing. You're getting Mohammed Jafar involved. He's fucking faxing stuff all through the night for you. If you're enacting this whole plot, one, either fax it to my house, or two, if you have to fax it to the office, go there.
Yeah, be there. Be the guy to
email.
Don't just presume that Cindy's going to get in there and not just like show it to somebody else, throw it away.
Everyone in your office is actively working against you, including Cindy, by the way. Yeah. You're number one.
And he's just like, just send it here. I'll show up whenever the fuck tomorrow morning.
He should have been in there all night long.
Yeah. Just getting all that, changing the paper out of the machine, first of all, because definitely.
You're used to getting up at 3 a.m. anyway, so I don't understand why this is so hard for you.
Fucking changing an ink cartridge at 4 in the morning.
This is what my life's come to.
How much is it? Ink cartridges? That's so fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, fucking maybe millennials with their $9 cup of coffee. Shit. These Amazons trying to take my job. Fucking Pike Place blend piece of shit coffee.
God, Pike Place is the worst.
So he does make up with Cindy before this all goes down. And he's like, well, I'm sorry I've been systematically sexually harassing you for years and kind of making you feel like shit, but thanks.
But isn't it cool that I'm suing a woman for doing the same thing?
Like he makes a legitimate apology to her.
Yes.
To which then she turns around and slaps him on the ass with a folder.
You're next. I'm suing you.
I'm fucking Sue happy now, baby. I got a taste for it.
It'd be great if she slapped him on the folder. Oh, what? You want to get fucked? Like, oh, no, 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 I do not. No, no, I don't.
Oh, you don't, huh?
Oh, well, I'm going to throw you across the room and ask anyway.
Sit on some champagne bottles, Cindy.
Or some minions, those little yellow guys.
Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
Those guys get sexually harassed, I bet.
Oh, totally. And they got like little buxom butt cheeks, too.
They do.
Why do those things need little asses? Because if you got an ass, you got an asshole.
And that means they're shitting, man.
Yeah, those minions don't need fucking, to be shitting.
Fucking raisinettes. Well, I'm in the theater. I'm going to the movies. Have some raisinettes. Oh, wait, they're coming out of Minions? Great.
Oh, is that a? Do I see a minion working at that concession stand?
Well, they're into everything. They're like gremlins.
They really are. They're little animated gremlins.
Wait, this isn't buttered popcorn. That's just minion dust.
Ground up minion dust.
Yep.
I'm into it.
So then, like, it's the big presentation. And we've been told, by the way, they're like, oh, by the way, Michael Douglas, it's no big deal. It's a 3-minute presentation. Yeah. Like, don't worry about it. So he gets in, and everybody's there. Someone's taking pictures because there's flash photography. And I was like, this is a bigger deal than what
it's the day of the merger.
The press is there. The press is there. That's why they're going to make him look incompetent in front of the press. Right, so they can finally be rid of him.
And the whole thing, by the way, is that they've been cutting corners in the Malaysian plant, mm-hmm. not using, you know, appropriate tools. There's been, like, you know, dust in what should be, like, airtight rooms.
And apparently people are, like, physically putting chips into,
just
like...
punching them
Yeah, really cutting corners here.
They were talking about the air quality and dirt's getting in everything now because, like, Demi Moore had, like, moved them to, like, a worse air quality area to make the costs cheaper or something.
Yeah, yeah.
There's, like, he's presenting all this info against her, and she's like, no, that's not right. That's not true. I was actually there putting down a labor dispute. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Well, what's awesome is she says something like, I've never been to Malaysia. What are you talking about? And he's like, oh, yeah, take a look at this, baby. And he turns on, like, Malaysian local news, and it's like, white woman visits factory.
I guess they overnighted that. Shit, yes. Man.
Yeah, what fucking fax machine did that come out of?
Yeah, oh, my God. Video files by 7 gigs, at least.
Yeah, so she's definitely seen the CD-ROM assembly line, and she wasn't, in fact, I guess, with a bunch of guys with sticks hitting workers, whatever putting down a labor dispute might have been. So she's been proven as
evil fraud.
Yep, evil, fraudulent. The list goes on and on.
And, like, Donald Sutherland kind of sells her out a little bit. She makes this weird speech about, like, it is like a fake, like, comeuppance at the end of a movie, because she, like, goes, oh, nobody cares about this shit, Tom. You know, you're gonna be screwed. You're fucked, Tom. And then, like, the other guy, the client, is like, can you make the darn thing or not? And she's like, but I never. I had no idea.
And whatever. Michael Douglas is just like, yes, we can, sir. So buy this company.
There was, but there's also that bullshit, like, at the end where she's like, I'm just doing what a man would do, and, like, this is not Oleana. This is not, like, the husband and wife are not going to have an hour-long discussion over coffee after this movie is done. It's a piece of shit movie.
Yes.
The that has nothing to say about sexual harassment whatsoever.
Nope. It has very little to say about VR.
It's got more to say about VR.
You might argue about HR for a little bit. That's about it.
So she's fired.
There's this other woman in the movie that doesn't matter. Because she does matter at the end.
It was the lady who was the college professor on Buffy, but that wasn't the case.
No, it's not her, no.
No, unfortunately.
But she's been in a lot of stuff.
Yes. Not Lindsay Krause.
Oh, yeah. Good call. Nice. Mm-hmm. What's the deal with her?
She's like, she's in, like, all of these big meetings, and, like, Douglas is like, ah, how's it going, Stephanie? Doing cool? Great. And she's like, yes, I am. Thank you. And then, like,
they do mention, like, she's been with the company for, like, 20 years.
She was his main, before Demi Moore came in, it was her and Michael Douglas were the ones who were up for the vice presidency.
Got it.
Demi Moore
swooped in. But she has, like, no lines or arc in this movie. But then at the end, like, Donald Sutherland's like, well, it's time for me to announce another vice president. And he does this thing, like,
welcome to the 38th Hunger Games.
Like, he does this big speech when Demi Moore gets there. He's like, we're shattering the glass ceilings today, ladies and gentlemen. And everyone's like, ew, don't say that.
Oh, stop it.
That you're making a fool of yourself. And boo. And he's like, well, I worried too much last time about glass ceilings when I should have been looking for the right person for the job. And it's like, oh, fuck.
And I didn't remember the end of this movie, and I was like, oh, come on. Oh, come on. Don't give Michael Douglas this promotion.
He's asking for another vice president. I don't know, I'm just thinking about that line from Sidekicks. He's asking for another brick. I don't know why. That line just repeats in my head a lot.
They both have the same amount to say about sexual harassment.
And he's asking for another brick.
And it winds up being this woman. And she's like, oh, by the way, this is my son from, he's home from college. And this little turd's like, hello. And he's like, oh. Isn't your professor, hey, Jeremy, is your professor named Arthur Friend? And he's like, why, yes, it is. Well, I guess you could say you were a friend to me. And he's like, that's the end of that movie.
Dude, Jeremy, doesn't your professor have a fake name?
They drag it out so much worse than that, though, because he's like, oh, you're Jeremy, huh? Oh, you go to, by the way, I hate this movie shit where they're like, you go to the university. Uh-huh. And he's like, yeah, that's right. And he's like, oh, wait, don't you study with Arthur Friend? And he's like, yeah, I'm his teaching assistant. Oh, and Arthur Friend's been out of the country for the last month, right? Yeah, that's right. Oh, okay, so I guess you could say when he's out of the country, you have access to his office and his email password.
The, keys to the office and this feed his cat.
Like, come on, get to it.
This kid is just like, he can't keep winking anymore. His eyelids are tired.
And to answer your question, Jeremy, my cock is hard.
He's like, well, that one wasn't
you true. Consider myself kind of a pig.
And then he's just like, you know, Jeremy, your mother is quite the woman. And he's just like, yeah. Yeah, she is. And we're just like giggling toward the credits.
Whatever, man.
Woo. That's awful.
It's 2 hours and 8 minutes of disclosure.
And then it's just, it like the credits roll over like scenic, beautiful Seattle and outer lying areas.
Isn't it weird that the wife is not a character in this movie? Like, they have that one blow up. But there's never a scene where they kind of come to terms or get divorced.
I'm not sure if he ever says sorry to her.
No, he's never said the word sorry.
I don't have anything to fucking apologize for. Well, God damn it.
Yeah, you're right, Michael Douglas, because he was assaulted, Chris.
Anyway. If it was a woman, everyone would have to apologize to her, right?
Wow, yes. I like that trail off. It was like Looney Tunes, Michael Douglas against the Roadrunner.
You know, and it's a bummer that his wife sort of peters out of the movie, but it's not quite a bummer that Dennis Miller kind of falls into the background.
Yeah, he's a fucking stick figure at the end of the movie.
But what it should have been, though, is Dennis Miller is actually on his side, and he gets a little too close.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Gets a little too onto the tail of Donald Sutherland and his nefarious scheme. And, oh, what's that, Dennis Miller? Oh, car bomb, you say?
Oh, man.
Like, because doesn't he meet a pretty fantastic end in the net? Isn't he murdered in that movie?
He is murdered in the net.
Does he get measles or something?
I don't know if he gets...
There's some sort of,
he's allergic to something.
Yes, yeah, and there's like a medical mix-up or something like that.
Does he get killed in Murder in 1600?
Probably.
I don't remember, but
Is
he the titular murder?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Although, like, I do
Wesley
believe...
Snipes, you gotta get out of the fucking White House, babe.
That might be a stay tuned, as a matter of fact. Yeah. I haven't seen
but
that movie in a
I
while.
I do believe Dennis Miller is the mistress from Absolute Power, though, Eric. So you might have gotten that screwed up. The one that Gene Hackman strangles to death.
Oh, I like that.
And Clint Eastwood is in this sex chair watching through a two-way mirror.
Clint Eastwood watching Gene Hackman get it on.
Well, I didn't think this was happening to me being an old cat burglar.
Let me.
Didn't thought I'd watch the president have sexual...
Let me take off my raincoat and open this
that
crutch.
That just makes my blood boil in my penis. I have a boner.
Did somebody say boner? I'm the lawyer from this movie.
Go get her, Ackman. You might say, I'm a friend.
Oh, and that's disclosure. Would anybody recommend this movie?
No. I mean, it's kind of fun in terms of, like, if you're a 90s kind of person that, like, really enjoys watching people wear brown, have power mullets. Well,
Brown's coming back, man.
You think
I like brown.
But... it's just not. I mean, it's a relic of its time. It's not at all what it wants to be or what it thinks it is.
Right.
And it's just the most wrong-headed movie about sexual harassment I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, there's nothing here. avoided at most costs.
I'm going to say it's kind of like a hangover movie because it's dumb enough And the there's twists and turns, which uh-huh. sounds stupid, but no, and you. They are stupid. But it was I was actually, you know, engaged in watching it, which I can't say for a lot of the movies we do.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in agreement with you here.
It's not good. It's like a watch it. It's like, oh, what, like what? And it's wrong. And you're right. You're right.
Well, don't listen to anything this movie thinks it's saying.
And also, you put in fucking virtual reality, bad 90s virtual reality, and I'm there every time because it's just mm-hmm. fun to watch. It's stupid.
It's so stupid. It's fun and it's stupid. So stupid.
But it's a bad
it's
movie.
So stupid yeah. with the VR. It is a 90s relic, and I'm just one of those guys, yeah. man. I was loving all these fucking baggy pantsuits uh-huh. and the power mullets and the whole thing. It is terrible. What an ugly time to be alive. mm-hmm. You know, but just don't listen to anything it says. And also, I mean, if you're hungover, right, you just stay awake long enough mm-hmm. for the most uncomfortable, chemistry-less, dull, dead-eyed sex scene ever to be put in a movie, and then pass out, and then you wake up and there's a bunch of shitty, you know, virtual reality stuff going on.
A bunch of lawyers saying boner. I mean, come on.
yeah.
It's stupid.
A lot of Michael Douglas saying, oh, God. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
God. Actually, it's a I just kept thinking of George C. Scott and Hardcore. Like, oh, God. Oh, turn it off. Turn it off.
Turn off the VR.
Here's one of my friends.
That's Disclosure, directed by Barry Levinson. If you want more WHM, check out our website, whmpodcast.com, or find us over on the HeadGum Network page. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. We are at WHM Podcast, and write into the mailbag, weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. We would greatly appreciate it. Patreon.com/wehatemovies. Subscribe. You get the Big Daddy Dispatch. You get Animation Damnation, the Nexus commentaries, all sorts of exclusive
extras. Did you like that Star Trek riff we did? yeah. Well, we got a whole Star Trek show on Patreon.
There you go.
And we're about to announce what the next month is going to be. But if you were a patron, you've known this for a couple of weeks.
Oh, shit.
You get stuff in the Big Daddy Dispatch a little early.
Right. So the schedule of all the episodes we're going to do in advance.
And so next week is the beginning of the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza, which we always get super excited for.
Yeah, hashtag SBE 2017.
But this year we're less excited.
Yeah. good reason.
Because we are, for no good reason, doing all of the Transformers Michael Bay movies,
yep.
one after another, starting next week.
That's right. So next week it's Transformers 2007. Get ready for that, and it's just going to keep going. Fucking Revenge of the Fallen, Dark Side of the Fucked Face, all the way up through Last Night, man, where we're doing the whole thing.
I didn't even know that.
Are we doing the new one?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I was like, oh, wait, am I making promises I can't keep?
You're writing checks your body can't cash.
That's exactly right. So, yeah, next week we start SBE 2017 with the Transformers-a-thon, and then there's just a couple of leftover weeks in the season after that for some non-Transformers-related blockbusters.
Mm-hmm. But they're big ones.
They've been
on our list for a while.
Long time coming. Stay tuned.
Nice busters.
That's right. To
big
wrap up.
Busters.
To wrap up. WHM Season 7.
Not just blocks. Avenue Buster.
That's right, Eric. Avenue Busters indeed.
Neighborhood Busters.
Got a Buster.
City Buster.
Busted makes me feel good.
There it is. So until next week, when the Transformers-a-thon kicks off, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Gavin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.